Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 4. We're going to be looking at verses 35 through verse number 41. In Mark chapter 4, last Sunday night, we looked at what I entitled Sermons from the Sea. We looked at four parables in Mark chapter 4. We looked at the parable of the soils, if you'll remember. And that is, the Bible teaches us that a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seed fell. We looked at the four different soils into which those seeds had fallen. We also looked at the parable of the lamp. The Bible teaches us that we're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and he giveth light unto all that are in the house. We also looked at the parable of mysterious growth. And that is, of course, how that a seed is sown and how that seed develops. And you and I don't see it, but then it happens. And we talked about the fact that with a parable that our Lord is concealing some things and revealing other things. And we emphasize in looking at these parables that one of the reasons as you and I study these, and that is the simple fact that by studying a parable, I mean, folks, you and I must dig into the Scriptures that we can learn so many things from them. Then we also talked about the comparison. We called it the parable of comparison. And that is the mustard seed, which he compared that to the kingdom of God. And how that you and I must recognize that the seed, the Word of God, folks, it is just amazing how the Word of God, when it's preached, and what it does. And let me give you just two or three examples of this. One is the Bible correspondence courses. You never know. You never know the effectiveness of our door knocking, as we have seen with Brother Ellerton, who was baptized a couple of weeks ago. I think of the brother that was converted in Bulgaria. And when I spoke with him and found out that the person who had taught him was one of the elders of the church in Chattanooga where I grew up. Here again, you see how the seed works. You sow that seed, how the kingdom spreads. You and I don't realize. I was talking with Brother Herschel Grimes, and Brother Herschel is the one who handles my television programs in southeastern Michigan. I was talking with him on Friday, and he said, we are beginning to get response in correspondence courses and other ways as a result of our television programming. We're grateful for that. So you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches us to preach the Word, be instant, in season, out of season. The Great Commission tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that's what we are endeavoring to do. When we preach the Word of God, it falls in the hearts, men hear it, believe it, and obey it, and the message of the gospel is spread many, many places. Now, come down to verse number 35. In these next verses, you'll find, and I looked at, and I thought about, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You and I don't realize that our Lord in human flesh, the Bible says, though he was a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered. As you and I looked at this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in which the Bible says that he being rich, he became poor, that we being poor may be rich. What did he do? He left heaven and he came to this earth. You and I must recognize that our Lord on occasion would get tired as you and I do. Hey, listen, you get out and work, teach all day. Brother Riley can tell you what it's like. You're teaching in vacation Bible school, or you're preaching, or you're holding a meeting, or you're having a meeting in the congregation where you are. By the end of the day, I want to tell you, you're worn out. People tell me sometimes, I say, Brother Acuff, I'm sorry, I almost went to sleep. I want to tell you, you sit anybody down for 30 minutes still, and they will go to sleep. I said, don't worry about it. I'm tickled to death. There's a place you can sleep. I mean, there are some folks who have a hard time. Just don't snore. But at any rate, I think about how that our Lord, he was tired. He's in the boat. Now, they cast out and go to the other side. When they do that, a storm occurs. Now, I understand those who have written on the or about the Sea of Galilee that it is not uncommon for a storm to come up very suddenly. They're out on the sea. There is a storm. Now, I don't care. Sometimes, folks, those of us who in our service to God and in the body of Jesus Christ, you and I get shaky on occasions. We see events occur. I can tell you this. When you are in a congregation and you are obligated for $1,000 a week for a building payment, and all of a sudden you discover that the contribution is not coming up to where it ought to be, I won't tell you, it'll scare the life out of some elders. I mean, they all of a sudden here we have this big building payment. We've got to pay the preacher. We've got to pay the light bill. And what do? Well, you just do a lot of praying for one thing. But at any rate, you and I get a little bit shaky when storms arise. Now, I've entitled this sermon, Dealing with Difficulties, and I have two or three titles for it. Now, I have 100 titles for every sermon. I don't change the sermon, I change the title. And so, How to Cure a Bad Day would be another title for this lesson. Our Lord has been out there teaching all day. Now there's a storm. Have you ever had a bad day? Did you know that it cost $80,000 to rehabilitate a seal that was damaged during the Exxon Valdez oil spill up in Alaska? Exxon was responsible. You remember that oil spill? It took $80,000 to rehabilitate a seal. They had rehabilitated, and they took two of the most expensive seals that they had rehabilitated. And once they had rehabilitated these seals, they had a big ceremony. And they turned these seals loose. And within a minute that they were loose, a whale eat both of them. Can you imagine that? I thought about this lady. She came into her kitchen. And she saw her husband. There was a wire, seemed like connected to from his waist to the electric skillet. And he's kind of, you know, and she, I mean, the lady scared the life out of her because electricity, and she just, I mean, the guy is being shocked. She was afraid to touch him. She goes into the living room, gets a log from the fireplace, and come in. She didn't want to touch him herself, and took that log and hit his arm and broke it in two places. Only to find out that he was just listening to his Walkman. Bad day? I think one of the most interesting ones was this fellow by the name of Hey Ray Chanet. He is an Iraqi, or was an Iraqi terrorist, and he sent a through the mail, he sent a letter bomb, but it didn't put enough postage on it. They sent it back to him. Guess what? You already guessed it. He opened it. It blew up in his face and killed him. You having a bad day? This next one I've just got to read to you. I don't think I could convey. And you've got to listen closely to this. I've never been able to really tell this. That's why I read it. Because it just describes things that happen to you in life. So you listen closely. I am writing in response to your request for additional information. In block number 3 of the accident reporting form, I put poor planning as the cause of my accident. You said in your letter that I should explain more fully, and I trust that the following details will be sufficient. I am a bricklayer by trade. On the day of the accident, I was working alone on the roof of a 10-story building. When I completed my work, I discovered I had 500 pounds of brick left over. Rather than carry them down by hand, I decided to lower them to the ground in a barrel by using a pulley which, fortunately, was attached to the side of the building at the 10th floor. Securing the rope at the ground level, I went to the roof, loaded the 500 pounds of bricks, then went back down to the ground and untied the rope. holding it tightly to ensure a slow descent of the 500 pounds of bricks. You will note in block 11 of the accident reporting that I weigh 135 pounds. Due to my surprise at being jerked off of the ground so suddenly, I lost my presence of mind and forgot to let go of the rope. Needless to say, I proceeded at a rapid rate up the side of the building in the vicinity of the fifth floor. I met the barrel coming down. This explains the fractured skull and broken collarbone. I continued my rapid ascent, not stopping until the fingers of my right hand were two knuckles deep into the pulley. Fortunately, by this time, I had regained my presence of mind and was able to hold tightly to the rope in spite of my pain. At approximately this same time, however, the barrel of bricks hit the ground and the bottom fell out of the barrel. Devoid of the weight of the bricks, the barrel now weighed approximately 30 pounds. I refer you again to my weight in block number 11 of the accident reporting form. As you might imagine, I began a rapid descent down the side of the building. In the vicinity of the fifth floor, I met the barrel coming up again. This accounts for the two fractured ankles and laceration of my legs and lower body. The second encounter with the barrel slowed me enough to lessen my injuries when I fell into the pile of bricks. And fortunately, only three vertebrae were cracked. I'm sorry to report, however, that as I lay there on the bricks, in pain and unable to stand, watching the empty barrel 10 stories above me, I again lost my presence of mind and let go of the rope. What kind of day have you had? How do you cure a bad day? There's probably not a one of us in this assembly today who has not had a bad day. Ladies and gentlemen, as you and I study the Bible, we come into a record of those men who were preachers of the gospel of Christ. If you want to really look at what men went through, then you and I can turn to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in which Paul tells about the fact that he was shipwrecked, how that he was stoned, how that he was a day or night in the deep, how that he was without food and with it. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I must recognize that we are not the only ones who have bad days. Paul had a bad day every now and then. As you and I look at the life of Jesus Christ, we must recognize that there were those certainly who rejected Him. Can you imagine when His own family did not believe Him and would not follow Him? Can you imagine the criticism that our Lord received as He would go in to the publicans and sinners and preach unto them and meet with them? And these Jews and these Pharisees on the outside, how that they ridicule the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever felt day by day and week by week, I am trying to do the will of God, I'm trying to serve God, I worship the Lord's day on the Lord's day, I give of my means as I have been prospered, and then you simply ask the question, why has this happened? I have an appointment as soon as I can work this out to go back to Livingston, Tennessee to meet with a relative of my wife. Janet's first cousin by the name of Ronnie Kennard. Janet and Ronnie were very close. As a matter of fact, the night I wanted to ask Janet to marry me, I had that ring and I was ready and I was excited, and we went to Woods Drive-In on Connor Avenue in Detroit. And lo and behold, we pulled in the drive-in and there sat Ronnie Kennard. Well, I mean, Ronnie's not going to just sit there and not get in. He gets in our car and sits. I almost had to push him out and say, Ronnie, get out of here. I won't ask Janet to marry me. What's the matter with you? Ronnie passed away, unfortunately, at the age of 50, very young. I preached his funeral. I preached his wife, Kay. She passed away within 2 to 3 years of Ronnie. Within 2 to 3 years of that, Ronnie's dad, mother, Murdy, she was a great chocolate pie maker. She passed away. Within 2 or 3 years of that, Janet's first cousin, KC, also passed away. But Ronnie had a son by the name of Alan. And I will never forget this, because at the funeral of his dad, he ran out of the service screaming, hollering, went out to the hearse and beat on the hearse. He told me yesterday, he said, that was some of the toughest time of my life. And I asked him, I said, Alan, are you familiar with the church in Livingston, Tennessee? He said, yeah, I know where. I said, Ronnie, or Alan, you ought to go. You ought to go to the Main Street Church in Livingston, Tennessee. And he said, well, I just haven't done anything. He had a bad day, folks. You lose your dad, your mom, your granddad, your grandma, all in a period of just a short time there, comparatively speaking. He had a bad day. And so his reaction is not any different from many individuals who face the same dilemmas in our life today. You lose your job. There's an illness. There's sickness in your family. There are problems that arise. What do you do? Ladies and gentlemen, direct your attention to the book of Acts chapter number 16, and I want to tell you how to cure a bad day. In Acts chapter 16, you and I know that Paul and Silas had been beaten on that occasion and had been thrown in jail. You know the story of the Philippian jailer. They were in Philippi. That is a great lesson. There is a great lesson in Acts chapter 16. You remember they were praying and singing praises unto God. The prisoners heard them. There was an earthquake and the jailer came in and he fell at the feet of Paul and Silas when he learned that no one had been killed. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And they told him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. The Bible says that he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his straightway. There is no more exciting passage of Scripture in the Bible than to find a man who has not believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and something occurs and this man falls at the feet of two of the greatest Bible teachers and says, what must I do to be saved? Would not any of us, ladies and gentlemen, long for the day when folks would come to us and come before us and say, will you tell me what to do in order to be saved? There are many who take this passage of Scripture and misuse it. There are those who will argue that salvation comes as a result of faith only. He said, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is denominational preacher and teacher, one after the other, who will say to you, look at what the Bible says. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And yet you and I know, as we read and study the Bible, that he took them that night and washed their stripes and was baptized. You and I know that it takes faith and repentance and confession and baptism in order to be saved. Now then, but I want you to look, ladies and gentlemen, at three things that'll help cure a bad day. Someone said, I don't understand, when you look at Mark chapter number 4 and you see Jesus, the disciples are afraid. They go, they ask the question, carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? We sing that song. And Jesus came and rebuked the winds, and you remember, he said, oh, you have little faith, what's going on? Oh, I added to what's going on. And you and I look at these storms of life and we think our Lord Jesus Christ has left us. He's not interested and He's not concerned. Can you tell me tonight, folks, that the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible tells us that the God of heaven has our hairs numbered, that He is not interested when something occurs in my life? When you and I study the Bible in Matthew chapter 6, and the Bible tells us that the birds are, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The Bible says, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, will it not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? The birds of the air, God loves and cares for them as He does. You tell me He's not interested in you? Three things. Acts 16. How to cure a bad day. Won't take but a minute. Number one, pray. Look at Paul and Silas. There's a fellow over in a jail who wants to be baptized. They're fine folks. I don't mean to be unkind, but usually county officials are not that much interested in inmates being baptized. I'll be honest and say, they're not going to go out of their way to help you to baptize one of those individuals. Now, you think about this. If you and I are in, and we're sitting there, I mean, we're going to be crying and whining. I have a friend. Bless his heart. I love him. He's a wonderful guy. But I've gotten where I just don't want to spend any time with him. I'm going to tell you, he whines constantly. God has blessed him in so many ways, but he whines all the time. Paul and Silas, look at what the Bible says. They've had a bad day. They have been beaten. They're in stocks and bonds. Now what do? They pray. The Bible says Paul and Silas prayed. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not in the length of your prayer. It's not in the logic of your prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, it is in the dedication and the spirit of your heart in your prayer to God. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you and I have the perseverance of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18 when he went out on the mountain and he prayed for rain seven times that he sent the man and said, hey, go look seven times, his perseverance. When you and I look at what James said in James chapter 5, and he said Elijah was a man of like passion. Do you see the passion in his prayer? He prayed that it might not rain. It didn't rain. He prayed that it rained. God sent the cloud and it rained. There is no greater avenue of encouragement and support, ladies and gentlemen, than when you and I lift up our voice in prayer unto God. I love Acts 5. I would preach on Acts 12, 1 through 5. I'd preach on it almost every Sunday. Because the church came together to pray for Peter. And when they came together to pray for Peter, ladies and gentlemen, there was a focus in their prayer. They focused on Peter. There was a fellowship in their prayer, and that was they prayed together. When you and I see the faith that they had in their prayer. If you're having a bad day, somebody saying, well, I don't much feel like praying, then pray anyhow. That's when you need to pray. You think our Lord felt like praying when He went out in that Garden of Gethsemane? Do you think our Lord felt like praying when He came back and He found Peter, James, and John asleep? But He prayed. All night long He prayed. On other occasions. He prayed before selecting the apostles. When you're having a bad day, I heard about a fellow came in and from work and he said to his wife, he said, you won't believe how terrible a day I had. She said, you didn't pray this morning, did you? When you're having a bad day, how do you cure it? Prayer. Secondly, look at this. The Bible said that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. You pray, and secondly, you praise. See, we're not used to that. I don't want to embarrass this great lady in this congregation. We have some precious folks in this congregation. All of you to me are precious. I love everybody here. You're wonderful. You treat me wonderful. Riley, I'm going to tell you this is the greatest. I know you think Savannah's the greatest, but this is the greatest church here. I'm glad you're here to see it. There's a lady. I don't want to embarrass her, but I won't call her name. Her initials are Mary Ann Rutherford. So, but at any rate, We had vacation Bible school. She worked here all week long. Oh, along with others of you. She wasn't the only one. She worked here all week long, helping us. I mean, I don't know if she had a cot and stayed all night here. I don't know, but she was here. And Friday night of that week, you know, we'd had the campaign. We'd door knocked 2,100 doors, and we had had vacation Bible school and a meeting every night. And lo and behold, guess what? Friday night was singing night. I don't know where I was, but I was gone. I don't think I got to go that night. But at any rate, Mary Ann was going to go with Charlie and Carol. I was going to ride with them. And you know what she told me? She said, I was so tired, and And finally she said, well, I'm just going to go anyhow. She said, you know what she said to me? She said, that was one of the greatest singings we've had. She came back from that song service. Now, you see what praise will do for you? See, a lot of times when people are down, you know what they do when the service time comes? They stay home. That's the worst thing you can do. Get together. Praise God. Listen, if the church isn't meeting for a day or two, just sing until you see. I mean, sing. Lift your voice in praise to God and thank Him for the blessing. Get up in the morning and say, I am thankful, God, that I am able to get out of this bed and I am able to eat and I've got food to eat and I'm able to walk. Yes, arthritis is bothering me. Praise. Pray and praise. Let the Lord know. Turn your Bibles. I'm going to preach for an hour more. Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalm. I'm going to do several sermons on this, but I'm just going to refer it to you right now. In the book of Psalms, go down to the end of the Psalm. Psalm number 146. Psalm 146. The Bible says, listen to this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Turn to the next Psalm, 147. Look at what the Bible says. Praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto God. For it is pleasant and praise is comely. Praise the Lord. Sing. Somebody said, I can't sing. He didn't say sing if you could. Go to the next Psalm, 148. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His host. Praise ye Him, sun, moon. Praise Him, all your stars of light. Psalm 149. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. Psalm 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. I want to ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen. Do you think there is an indication in those Psalms that we ought to praise God and sing praises to Him? 16 of you went down to West Georgia Friday night for the singing. I venture to say that you came back encouraged and motivated and just excited getting together with brethren and singing praises to God. I love you because you love to worship and sing and praise God and come together. I can hardly wait till Sunday comes. Ladies and gentlemen, to be able to come together and to praise God. You had a bad day? Praise. Two, praise. Three. Somebody's going to say, now, preacher, don't you ruin it now. Pray, praise, and preach. Somebody said, are you advocating women preachers? Yes. Not in the pulpit, but teaching others. Think about that. That there's some person. There is someone that we can talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul and Silas were in prison. They prayed, they sang praises unto God, and then they preached to the jailer. I'm going to tell you the cure for a rundown church. To me, that's a cure for a rundown church right there. Pray, praise, and preach. But I'm going to tell you, if you're, well, you're a church, we're nobody here having that. We don't have the problems here. But I tell preachers that call me and they say, Brother Acuff, we're having problems where I preach. And I say, get in the baptistry. Oh, no, I'm not saying get the boots on, just stand up there and preach out of the back. You start talking to people about Jesus and you start using that baptistry, and I'm going to tell you, you'll be amazed that the attitude changes in any congregation when the baptistry is used. There are some congregations, and I'm going to tell you, their baptistry looks like a pond with mud all over it. Because they've never used it. They don't use it. You see, the cure for a bad day is praying, praising God, and preaching the gospel. You can't. Those of you, and we're going to have a class next Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock for about 40 minutes on using the Jewel Miller DVDs. Everybody's welcome. We've got four sets, I think, now of the DVDs, one of the VHS. But I'll tell you something. If you want to go to bed at night with excitement, then just find somebody to help study the Bible with. I mean, you don't have to do it all by yourself. Call Brother Gary. Call Brother Charlie. Call me. Call somebody. There's a bunch of us here. Brother Ed will help. We'll help you. You don't have to do it yourself. When Brother Danny's able, I'm going to tell you, he's a great fellow to study the Bible. Have him go with you and study with people because there's no man loves the Bible more than Brother Danny and knows more about it and how to teach it. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, when you've got a bad day, now aren't you happy you came tonight? You know how to cure a bad day. Pray, praise, preach. And I'll guarantee you, when you get up in the morning, the sun will be brighter, the day will be clearer, and life will seem far more comfortable than ever before. Jesus was in the ship. The storm arose. Jesus calmed the storm. And Jesus can calm the storm of your life tonight. If you're not a Christian, we encourage you to obey the gospel. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing to change your life by repentance, confess the name of Christ, before this assembly tonight, you can be baptized into Christ.